Hi, my name is Rachel, and you're listening to Maker Style, a creative lifestyle podcast where we talk about small business, blogging, and of course, lots and lots of sewing. Listening to the Maker Style podcast is like sitting down for a coffee and chat with your girlfriends who are just as passionate about making things as you are. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 20 of the Maker Style podcast. My name is Rachel A, and I'm your host today and every day on the show, and I am so excited to have you here for the fifth and final episode of the Maker Style Bra Making Month. Woo! We've had such an awesome month. We've heard from Sarah from Olulu, Hannah from Evie La Louve Lingerie, Karu from Studio Costura. We had Ying from TaylorMade Shop take over my Instagram account. We've heard from Emerald Aaron. And today we are hearing from my favorite bra making teacher in the world. Guys, we have the famous Amy from Cloth Habit on the show to celebrate the end of Bra Making Month. I know you guys are going to be so excited for this episode because, as I'm sure you know, if you're listening to this in real time, right now on the Maker Style Instagram account, that's at maker.style on Instagram, we are running a giveaway. Ying from TaylorMade Shop and I are running a giveaway that ends tonight, giving away a free bra kit. Open internationally. All you have to do is follow us both and comment what pattern you want to make. And guys, the comments have been lighting up with people saying they want to make the new Harriet bra pattern from Cloth Habit. So given all this interest and hype about the Harriet bra pattern, which is totally well deserved, I am so excited to be bringing you this interview today. Just a few more housekeeping things before we get on into a little bit more interview information. Like I mentioned earlier, today is the last day to enter that giveaway on Instagram. So it's going to close on February 6th, 2017 at 10 p.m. So if you are interested in entering and you're listening when this episode comes out, go run over to Instagram and go enter. Don't miss out. Secondly, I just wanted to say a minute to say thank you for coming along on this ride with me. But also, I had a couple job interviews last week for an internship, and I talked a little bit about it on Instagram, and you guys were so supportive. You guys sent me lots of happy well wishes and good lucks, and I wanted to let you know that I got a job, so that's awesome. I'm now employed for the summer, and I'm going to be working for Autism Canada, doing graphic design and social media. It's really exciting. Autism is a cause that's quite close to my heart. My younger sister's autism. So being able to give back to this organization and get experience in a field that I want to further my career in is just like perfect. So I'm so excited for the summer, and thank you guys all for the support. You guys really helped me get into that interview with lots of confidence and kick butt. So I appreciate that. Anyways, back to Bra Making Month. Today we're going to be talking with Amy from Cloth Habit. What I love about Amy is that she has such a strong focus on teaching. When I first sewed my very first bra, it was a Boylston bra, and I remember going to her blog and using her tutorials to figure out how to add the foam and how to assemble the bra. Like, I followed her tutorials to a T, and I would have tried the Watson bra first, but as I'm sure you guys have known by now if you've listened to all of Bra Month, I got this thing for foam. All the bras that I make, I just want them to have foam in them because I feel weird without it. I'm kind of working on getting over that, but for now, everything needs foam. Which is why I'm so excited about this Harriet pattern that Amy from Cloth Habit just released a few days ago, because you can make it with foam or without, and there's an underwire, so it's like, it's perfect, and I'm so excited. So she's come on the show today to talk about why she loves teaching so much, and how her patterns are actually made to help support her teaching business and not the other way around, which I thought was super interesting. And of course, we got into some bra making tips and stuff like that because Amy, being the teacher that she is, couldn't resist sharing lots of knowledge. So that's amazing. Lots to learn in this episode, especially if you're interested in the whole concept of capsule lingerie drawers. I think you're really going to like some of the stuff we talk about a little later on in the episode. And also just something to note, Amy, being the totally kind soul that she is, has given us a coupon towards the Harriet bra pattern. It's going to be open for 1 week, so it's going to close on February 13th, 2017, and it'll help you get 10% off the Harriet bra pattern with the code 10OffMakerStyle. I'll have more information about that in the show notes tonight, so you can go check that out and go get you a bra at a discount. And not to mention, I didn't know this right off the bat because I think it's something that's a little more hidden in the information, but all the profits from this bra pattern in 2017 are going towards helping Syrian refugees, supporting charities that help them find housing and jobs. And it's just such an important cause, and I'm so happy that there's an amazing pattern, an amazing product with really great principles behind it, and just makes me so jazzed and so excited to talk about. So I hope if you've been eyeing the Harriet pattern, you can go use that discount and get yourself a great pattern that supports an awesome cause. Anyways, guys, that's all I have to say. Thank you so much for coming in for Bra Making Month. It's been awesome. The Maker Style Bra Making Month, and I'm so excited to have you along for the ride here. We've got a big month planned with so many awesome interviews and information about how to sew the bra and lingerie sets of your dreams. We'll be doing weekly episodes featuring different bra makers until the 6th of February. But if you're not into bra making, don't worry. We're going to be having three regular bonus episodes that talk about different topics other than bra making throughout the month of January on Thursdays. I'll let you guys know on Instagram when that happens. If you want to be the first to know, make sure you give me a follow there at maker.style and you'll never miss an update. Or just subscribe to the podcast and you'll get it right into your feed when it's released. Hey, Amy, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hi, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's going to be so much fun chatting with you. I'm really excited to have you here today. Do you mind just telling the listeners at home a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. My name's Amy, and I am the blogger and pattern maker and tinkerer behind Cloth Habit. And I have I started it as a business a couple years ago. I've been blogging at Cloth Habit for about 5 years, and I've been sewing since I was a kid. I've been sewing and making a lot. My mom's a maker. My grandmother's a maker. So I love sewing, and I love making lingerie. I had a space in my life that some things were transitioning, and I started doing the blogging more and more, and I loved teaching on my blog and decided to do more of the lingerie patterns, and it kind of grew from there.
Awesome.
So that's where I'm at now.
So has Cloth Habit always been a blog about bra and lingerie making, or have you done more classic apparel projects or different kind of sewing projects there?
No. Actually, you know, what's funny is I had a gardening blog before Cloth Habit. It was kind of a very geeky gardening blog. And I had a friend who was seeing how much I was sewing things, and she said, you should start a sewing blog and just kind of show the things you're making. And I followed a few sewing blogs. This would have been like maybe 2009, 2010. And I followed a few sewing blogs, but I, you know, didn't really kind of know what was out there in terms of that. And I thought, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So I had found, I think Gertie from New Blog for Better Sewing was doing a sew-along on her blog for tailoring. And I was really into tailoring at the time, and I thought, I'm going to follow that sew-along, and I'm going to start a blog so I can, you know, show my progress on that. So I actually, my first post on my blog was about a shirt that I had made, and then the rest of it was a jacket, the jacket that I was making.
Oh, awesome.
So it kind of started with the sew-along.
So now my question for you is, how did you get into lingerie making? Because I know for so many of us at home that might have kind of taken a gander on the internet to learn about bra making, your blog is often the hub where people end up because you have so many awesome tutorials, either if it's for the Watson set or just general bra making tutorials. You've got a lot on there. So how did you learn, since you seem to be the prime online teacher?
You know, I always wanted to learn bra making. Well, not always. That's an exaggeration. But I am... I started drawing, like I don't do this anymore, but I had a fashion illustration notebook about 10 years ago, and I started drawing all these robes, and I wanted to learn embroidery, and so I was like drawing embroidery ideas, and I started drawing all these little camisole sets and bras, and I don't know what happened. I think I saw, it was like, I forget where I saw it. I saw this really beautiful like silk bra online somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this was like 10 years ago. And I thought, I want to learn to make that. People make bras, you know. And
it had to be made by someone.
Yeah. And in my mind, it was doable. I just didn't. It wasn't something I kind of pursued at the time. And, you know, it was through a few sewing blogs. Some hobbyists were making their own bras. And I knew that was like definitely, I'd always wanted to learn to tailor a jacket. I always wanted to learn to make a bra, like as soon as I started my blog. So, I, you know, bought a kit from Bra Maker Supply because mm-hmm. at the time, you know, I only knew of a few sources that sold patterns and supplies. I mean, and I was like the Googler. I went everywhere. Like, and I have a lot of vintage books because I tried to figure out what was out there in older kind of materials on bra making. But so I bought this kit and I made a bra and I knew right away. I was like, I'm going to get addicted to this. And I don't know when that was, but I didn't stop. That first bra, I probably made like six more bras that month.
Well, what's nice about sewing bras, at least what I found, is that they're complicated, but once you get the hang of it, it's a really quick sew. Like, you can get it done in not a whole lot of time.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's kind of funny now, because if I'm concentrating a lot or I'm making a more complicated project, I'll take my time because I get up and walk away. But, you know, if I'm really familiar with the pattern, I can do it. You could do it in under 30 minutes, you know?
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of it's just like when I'm just sewing with the same materials over and over, but, you know, I try not to be, I can be a Speedy Gonzalez sometimes. I try not to, because that's when I make mistakes. But
So but, the bra patterns that you sew, are they mostly your patterns that you've drafted yourself, or do you use a lot of commercial patterns?
Now all my own. And actually the Watson started out as, and my first pattern, my free pattern, the Rosie Lady shorts were, I just wanted something that I liked. And so I had seen a lot of cute, like long line soft bra patterns. And I thought, I'm going to make this myself. I'm going to draft it. And it went through like five or six iterations, but I probably made like 15 for myself. And a lot of people were like, will you make a pattern from this? And so I was a bit nervous about that in the beginning. Like, is that something I want to do and, you know, keep making lingerie patterns? But it started out as me loving drafting for myself. And I haven't used a commercial pattern in a while. I did in the beginning, and I would kind of hack those patterns, but I pretty much know what fits me now, so I like using my own patterns.
Yeah, once you get into self-drafting, I've never self-drafted a bra, but just self-drafting other things. Once you can kind of do it for yourself, it's hard to go back to the commercial patterns.
Yeah, it is. And I know kind of what works on me personally, mm-hmm. what doesn't. And it's awesome. There are so many great bra patterns out there now. It's amazing. It's, but yeah, I look at something, I'm like, oh, I'll draft that. You know, it's easier for me. So yeah. And they're such tiny pieces. It's really easy to change things in bra patterns versus like a jacket when you want to change a whole sleeve cap, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So,
yeah.
One thing I thought was really interesting when we were chatting over email, when we were sorting out the details of this interview, was the fact that you said that you do pattern making, but you do pattern making as a way of supporting your teaching business, not the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. I've really had to think through that. Yeah, go ahead.
Why teaching? What appeals to you so much?
Well, my husband always tells me that as soon as you learn something, Amy, you always have to teach it to everybody. And I'm just one of those people. I'm sure you have friends like that. They're always like, you know.
Sharing the knowledge.
I learn a new skill and I just want to share it with everybody. And so I have that. I have that kind of enthusiasm. But I've always wanted to get into teaching. And I think it was through blogging that I got really excited about it. And, you know, I think it was about, it was after I released the Watson, I really decided that I'd like to pursue doing online teaching, which is another thing I've been doing this year. But I love developing like a classroom around an idea and giving people like permission to think critically. And I also love teaching people like drafting and fitting. And so I guess I kind of see as what I want to do in the future is work on patterns that work well in a classroom instead of kind of work on getting as many patterns as possible out. So it's been a long time since the Watson came out, but I like that. I like that there's like, I like that I have fewer patterns, but things I really know how to use and in a classroom. And
so what? And, sorry.
Go ahead.
What makes a pattern work in a classroom kind of setting? What's kind of the features that make it work really well for that kind of purpose?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know, when it comes to bra making in particular, I think one of the things that's really hard for people in the beginning is that, you know, you have bra sizing, which is so confusing in its own right. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's nice about doing it in a classroom is just kind of leaving aside all the like fitting calculations and everything and just looking at a bra pattern as a template. Mm-hmm. It's a place to start. It's a place to start for fitting. It's a place to start with fabric and your imagination. And I think you can use any pattern for that purpose, really. But I really love in my patterns, and I'm doing this in my new pattern, Harriet, like just including extra, like what I call educational material, like some help with like choosing fabrics and some extra instructional pages and tips, things you might find on a blog, but I like including that in the pattern because I think patterns have gotten better in the last 5 years, but like,
absolutely,
you know, they used to be just so hard to figure out. Like my, you know, first couple bra patterns I made, the instructions were just so short and like, I was confused about what the seam allowances were and where they were and all that. And, so I like making all that stuff really clear in the pattern so that people, like, you can use the pattern and you know where to alter it and you kind of can take off from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So when you come to a class and you're kind of planning out what you're going to teach, do you have like a certain style or approach or methodology? I don't know what you want to call it, just kind of a way that you frame your classes?
Yeah, that's another good question. I don't know if I have a methodology, but I think part of my like personal goal is I really love, especially like I love teaching women, and I really love watching women go through the process of trusting their instincts and learning to think critically through what they're doing. And I think, you know, some of us, like I remember I grew up sewing with, you know, kind of the big four commercial patterns. And, you know, it's kind of hard to feel like I was, you know, question the pattern, the whole question, the pattern, question the process. I was afraid to do that. And I think I really enjoy setting up an environment where, here's what we're going to be doing. And along the way, there's going to be a process where it's okay to make mistakes. I love like making an atmosphere where it's like totally okay to make mistakes. And actually in bra making, it's so great to make a bra where you're going to make a ton of mistakes. I wish I could show you this one I have in front of me. It's just like it's a hot mess, but it was just a bra muslin, but it's okay to make mistakes that first time and kind of creating that atmosphere. Cause I think that breaks off the perfectionism, but it also helps people to start giving more permission to that, the critical thinking skills, like, okay, well, that fabric didn't work or that, you know. And so I like, it's more about making an atmosphere. And I'm not great at it yet, but I really want to work on that. Like, this atmosphere of excitement and learning and falling down and getting back up. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, I love, you mentioned critical thinking quite a few times in this episode, and I love that you've said that. Because it's not a skill I think I've consciously associated with sewing before, but yep. Now that you've kind of brought that up, it makes total sense. You know, we're always making these tough choices when we're working on a garment, whether it be a bra or a blouse. You have to make decisions when it comes to fabrics and techniques and when you're going to stray from the pattern and when you're going to follow it to a T. And I think giving a space where you can learn those skills is really valuable because that's what gives you the freedom to kind of start experimenting and doing some super cool stuff in sewing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what it's like when you're first learning something. I just tried to make these like wonton wrappers this week. It was a new recipe. All the ingredients were totally unfamiliar. And you know, I had the recipe pinned up on my oven and I kept walking back and forth. Like, did I cut that right? Did I dice that small enough? Did I turn that heat up? It's a lot of concentration the first time you're making something. And so it can feel kind of overwhelming not knowing which part's more important than the other. And so I think that's why, like, especially with a new skill, having an atmosphere of just freedom and like, okay, to make mistakes. And then when you get to your next one, then you're like, okay, well, that amount of garlic didn't work or whatever, you know? And then you just kind of know it flows a little better. But I definitely think that's true with bra making, you know, there's a lot to concentrate on in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Just even for me personally, I've only made 2 bras, so I'm by no means no expert, but the difference between my first bra and my second bra, like, holy Hannah. I went from following the instructions to a T to totally hacking up the second one. And it's just funny how much easier it was the second time around.
Yeah, absolutely, because you don't have to think through some of the steps anymore. And then you get to think about the fitting and all that, and that's fun too for me. But
awesome. Now, when you're teaching someone to sew bras for the first time, do you have any tips, any kind of first steps that they should do, any first projects, anything that they should know?
Yeah. Well, like for lingerie in general, mm-hmm. I really feel like one of the kind of hard things in the beginning is, especially if you haven't sewn a lot of elastic, is the elastic. Just kind of getting used to, you know, sewing that in, what that feels like, and how much is too much as far as tension and things like that. And that's why I think underwear is always a really easy pair of, like, an underwear is a great way to start making lingerie, because bras have a lot of elastic in them. So,
keep going.
No, that's good.
Do you find that beginners typically overstretch or understretch elastic?
Well, I know I did. I overstretched a lot. And so I kind of, I have a couple friends that joke, like, you have a lot of theories about elastic. I'm like, I do, you know, but I was following the instructions in a pattern, which was like reduced by 20% or something like mm-hmm. that. And that was so tight. It was just so tight. Because when you think about it, like a bra band or underwear already has like negative ease. So the measurements of the underwear are less than your body. So when you add even more negative ease to the elastic, it's going to be even tighter than the fabric. And so, yeah, but I was, for some reason, I was pulling really hard and it was all gathered and everything and it was too tight and I couldn't figure out what I had done wrong. So I just started practicing on scraps and felt like way less is more, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So I barely stretch my elastic at all in sewing most lingerie now. So
if you had to put a percentage to it, would you say like 5 or 10%?
I would say it's about 5. I did a lot. It's funny because during the Watson, a lot of people asked me that and I just do it by hand. So I finally decided to do some tests and I tried everything from like fold over elastic to really thick plush elastic. And it was usually somewhere around 5%.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's really good to know, especially for beginners, because you can always cut it to the right size if you know you have to take out 5%.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes because that's something I think that's super, super valuable to know that exact measurement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other tips?
You know, one of my big ones lately I've been thinking about is make a muslin every time you make a new bra pattern. And I know that sounds overwhelming to people, but I think that it's so hard when you're trying a new pattern for the first time to every pattern maker and even like in ready to wear, every bra, you know, the sizing is not the same from brand to brand and pattern maker and pattern maker. So, and also different shapes and bras fit differently. And so I think it really helps to, you know, I have a really quick way that I don't kind of sew all the elastic all the way down when I'm making a muslin, but I like to make it with the materials that are like really, really close to the ones that I want to use in the bra. And, you know, or just even if you don't want to call it a muslin, like make a bra that you know is probably not going to work. Mm-hmm. And then make your second one, like adding in some of that information that you got from the first one, because I think for some reason a lot of people get really disappointed when their first bra doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. And my first 3 didn't fit at all. And my first one was too small, my second one was like way too big, and I was mixing and matching fabrics, and you know, I'm okay with that. I kept them, I still have them, just to remind myself, you know. But yeah, it's like, don't be afraid of making a bra that you know you're gonna get rid of or just keep in your drawer somewhere to remind yourself. And you can always save, like, the hook and eye and the rings mm-hmm. if you want to recycle those into another bra. So that would be another piece of advice.
Awesome. That makes a whole lot of sense. And I think part of the maybe the frustration of not having your first bra turnout can kind of be, like, found back to the fact that when you buy a bra kit, it kind of feels like you don't have a whole lot of supplies to kind of make mistakes.
Yes.
For me personally, when I started bra making, just getting the supplies is the hardest part. And even now, I only have power mesh in one color, and that's kind of preventing me from making more bras because I only need so many white bras. But just finding these materials is hard.
It is, and I wish there was, like, an easier way around that. I mean, I've gotten good at shopping for it, and now I kind of know where all my sort of go-tos are, but it's getting better. More people are offering kits. I have a few people that are going to be offering kits specifically for Harriet, my new pattern.
Awesome.
And, you know, kits are great. They're just, I couldn't have made my first bra without one because I was confused about underwires. I was confused about all the things that everyone else gets confused mm-hmm. by. And it's just nice to have someone gather all that together in one place. But it's almost like I wish that kits would include, like, here's some for a muslin. Here's some for the real Ryan.
So it's a great business idea for any fabric stores listening. We would love the extra fabric in a kit.
Absolutely. But it is, you know, having done it now, having made kits now, it's very time consuming and it's mm-hmm. not always cost effective. I mean, I think the people that are doing it now are finding great sources and supplies. And I really wish them well because it's a wonderful, like, resource to, like, curate, especially there, like, lace is really confusing for people, and just to curate from the wide world of lace, like mm-hmm. a few nice things that work well in bras is really a great service.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question I'm going to ask very selfishly. I'm not sure if it'll be of use to anyone in the audience, but I hope it is. But I'm curious, Amy, in your stash of bra-making fabrics, I'm sure you have lots to choose from. But if you're kind of a beginner intermediate bra maker that's looking to buy maybe more power mesh or more colors of elastics and stuff like that, what pieces have you found to be the most versatile colors and stuff like that to have in your stash so you can make a wide variety of styles of bras?
That's a great question. I have a few colors that I just really love myself. Mm-hmm. I have this color I kind of call blushy pink. And actually, Bra Maker Supply sells a color that's called peach, and it comes close to that for me. And I like using it not just in, like, bras that are all pink, but using it as, like, an accent. Like, it looks really good with hot pink, and it looks good with, like, blue. And so in some bras, like... and people are getting more into this, which is great. It doesn't have to be all matchy-matchy. You know, your elastic can be in a contrasting color to the fabric you're using. And so I definitely have, like, I like stashing in on black. I like stashing in on kind of, like, that sort of blushy, like, skin tony color that looks, that I like. And I also buy a lot of stuff in white, and so that's all, like, I like to dye, and I got into dyeing because of the lack of supplies for myself, and I dye a lot of my power mesh. So it's really easy to do, but for, you know, to tell kind of beginners that, it's overwhelming, but I think, you know, even if you just want to try RIT dye, it's very easy to dye power mesh with that. But it's also another learning curve, like, you know, learning how to get the color you want. So,
yeah.
But I've got it down. I've got my dyeing down to a bit of a science. So I know I can buy a white hook and eye and dye it into this blue and get what I want from it. So I
buy a lot awesome.
Of white stuff.
That's a great tip, though, because even if you have that stash and you don't use all the white stuff right away, if you choose, you can always learn to dye it later if you really feel that that's something you're ready to tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do have a tutorial on my blog that goes through different types of dyes and what will work with, like, dyeing specifically the lingerie fabrics used in bras. And I'm working on another one that kind of goes into the actual process that I do. It doesn't take that long, and I think that people are interested in it. So if that's – and some parts of the world – I mean, I have people write me from all over the world. They can't get their hands on lingerie supplies like I can. And so – if all they can find is white and black, then you know, dying might be an option for them. And so I think that's a great way to go.
Awesome. Well, that was super useful. Thank you. I will definitely keep that in mind. I shouldn't complain so much because I only live like an hour away from the real Bramaker supply store. So I can go in and see Beverly whenever I want to. And I've been meaning to stop in. But that's awesome. Definitely the peach, the black, and the white seem like great neutrals to have on hand.
Yeah.
That way you can coordinate with any kind of any laces that you're able to find. Because I find getting the lace, at least for me personally, is a little bit easier than finding things like power mesh and
elastic. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a lot of yardage of black power mesh and a lot of yardage of white and some of like peachy nude. And definitely when you find good power mesh, you know, if you want to keep making bras, like buy enough of it because it's good. You know, it's not easy to find, and quality power mesh is the best fabric for bra bands. Go ahead.
Oh, how do you tell if something's a quality power mesh?
Well, some of it is like feel, and so that's very hard to describe. I like it to feel nice and kind of silky, and some of it is the stretch and the rebound. So I like my bra band fabric to have somewhere around like 50% stretch, not more than that. Like a lot of jersey or stretchy mesh fabrics will have more than that. And I find those just don't last as long. Like the bra will kind of stretch out faster over time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of really aim to have my bras like fit me and still fit me in a firm way for like a year. Mm-hmm. And so if it's kind of loosened, if I'm on the tightest hook and it's loose in like 6 months, you know, I don't like that. So
yeah.
So for me, a good power mesh has kind of a firm stretch and it rebounds really well. And I think probably the best way to know is to buy it from a good source like Bramaker Supply. And I also get power mesh from Emma One Sock. They have a few really basic colors and it's very nice quality power mesh.
Awesome. I'll definitely link all of those resources in the show notes too, so you guys don't have to go searching for them.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, Amy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been so much fun chatting with you. Yeah. Before we go, I know we've mentioned your new Harriet pattern a couple times. I know by the time this episode airs, it'll be released, but it hasn't been released yet. So do you mind telling everyone a little bit about what that pattern is?
Absolutely. Yeah. My new pattern's called Harriet, and it is an underwired bra pattern.
Ooh, yay.
And this one has a pretty large size range, which I've been working on for a long time, but I really wanted a bra that kind of addressed as a lot of sizes. And it's a three-piece cup, and it has a couple of different variations to it so that you can use lace in the pattern in parts of it or all of it, and it will also have an option to use a foam lining if you want to use foam.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and so it's got quite a few options, and so my goal is definitely with this pattern to have, like, a pattern that people can play with. But also, this is much more supportive pattern than the Watson was, because after the Watson came out, I realized it's my kind of bra. I work at home, so I can wear this kind of bra all the time, and I don't need a lot of support either. But I wanted something that worked for people that just want more lift and support, and that the Watson didn't fit too. Awesome. So,
well, yeah. That sounds really, really exciting. Just personally, again, selfishly, I brought up a lot of selfish things to our listeners.
Yeah.
But for me, I really wanted to purchase a bra pattern from you, Amy, because I've used your resources to learn bra making like so much. But I personally don't like wearing bras without foam because I feel a little too exposed. I'm used to like the super like padded Licenza bras that I haven't weaned myself off that yet. So started with cut and sew foam, and I'm really excited to hear that the Harriet has that as an option, because that'll be super, super fun.
It will be, yeah.
Awesome. Do you mind just telling the listeners where they can go to find your patterns, find your awesome blog, learn more about you, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. My website and blog and shop are all at clothhabit.com. And I'm also on Instagram as clothhabit. And you can buy your pattern, my patterns, right through, if you go to clothhabit.com and click on the shop link, and that's where you can get my patterns.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for coming on the show today. This has been awesome, and I could keep you all afternoon, but I'm sure you probably have to get back to work soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. That was a fantastic episode, wasn't it? I just wanted to come back on and remind you of that discount code. The discount code is 10offmakerstyle. And you can use that coupon on the Harriet bra pattern until the 13th of February, 2017. It looks like it's going to be a fabulous pattern. I'm going to go scamper over to clothhabit.com to go pick up that, that pattern and go support an amazing cause. I also just wanted to say that with the end of this episode concludes the Maker Style Bra Making Month, although there will be a few bra making related posts on my blog throughout the month of February and throughout the year. But I just wanted to say thanks for coming along. It's been an amazing time. I've had so much fun doing this. Don't worry, if you've been loving these episodes and don't want it to end, the podcast is going to keep on going. We're just going to have some different kind of content here and there during the weeks. So we'll be talking more about apparel. And man, guys, I've got an amazing February lined up for you guys. You guys are going to love some of the interviews that I have in place. I'm really excited to bring them to you. Anyways, thank you so much for all the fun in Bra Making Week month. It's been amazing. That's all I have for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I really appreciate you hanging out here with me. It's like my favorite part of the week. Another part of the week that I really enjoy is the time of the week where we sit back on Instagram or on the blog and we chat about this week's episode. So if you're interested in getting involved in the conversation, I would love to have you there. You can check out my blog with all the show notes at makerstyle.ca or on Instagram at maker.style. I can't wait to see you there and have a wonderful week.